During each episode, a faculty representative will highlight some of the academic features and career opportunities of their respective undergraduate major area. I'm Aaron Baggett, and we're joined today by Dr. Michael Long, Director of the Slavic and East European Studies Program and Professor of Russian. Welcome, Dr. Long.
Thank you.
Tell us about the unique features that this program offers to students.
The great feature about it is that students have the opportunity to take a variety of different courses related to the Slavic and East European region, which now comprises 29 different countries. That means that students can take courses in a variety of fields, for example, history, political science, economics, religion even, plus language, courses which concentrate or at least have large components of their content related to this region. Mm-hmm. So they're getting a variety of different perspectives from a variety of different faculty members in different fields.
How do some of those students combine some of the things, like you said, religion or political science? That probably is a little more obvious.
We have in our description for the major in the catalog two sets of courses. There's a group A set and a group B. And we determined that students need to have a certain number of hours from each group. Mm-hmm. So they're free to select. They can combine them in any way they choose as long as they meet those basic requirements of having a set number of hours from each group. Mm-hmm. Then we have two introductory courses. One is taught in the fall, one is taught in the spring, where we start with the basic introduction to the entire region, beginning with the modern era, talking about giving a profile, a quick profile of each country, where it is now, what its goals are, what its relations are with its neighbors, etc., foreign policy, economic situation, etc., a little bit about its history. Then we go back and give a historical analysis about the major cultural events affecting the region. In the second half, or the second introductory course, which is taught in the spring, that's taught currently by Julie de Graffenried in the Department of History, who is finishing now her PhD in Russian history. And she takes up the story beginning after Peter the Great in Russia and takes it all the way through the modern era to our time.
What types of students might find themselves being a good fit in your major?
I think students who are interested in foreign policy, who are interested in history and how historical factors have shaped the modern world, shaped modern foreign policy of major states, United States, Russia, even European powers who are always involved in the region as well. So we get a lot of students who are interested in international relations, they might be working on an international studies minor, they may be interested in Russian history. We also get a lot of students who have some career interests in American foreign policy, whether that's with the State Department or want to go strictly into politics in some way, or want to go into international business. Some field which engages them in the international arena and specifically oriented to that part of the world.
Are there opportunities for undergraduate students to assist faculty in different projects or research opportunities?
There are, though that's quite limited. Most of the programs have graduate students who would normally fill that role for professors who teach these courses. That doesn't mean that an undergraduate student could not negotiate or talk to a given faculty member and say, I'm interested in some of this work that you're doing, and would you allow me to assist? And that's mm-hmm. perfectly possible, and I think most faculty members would be open to that idea, though we don't have any kind of formal program for that.
Yeah. Can you give us some examples of what some of those projects might be?
One project was I have been doing research on architecture in the region, specifically in Russia, folk architecture. A lot of books, for example, in the West, have been written describing the major architectural monuments, the monasteries, the churches, things of that nature, which are more, I would say, splashy or grab most of the attention. But I also became very interested in just the ordinary folk architecture, specifically in Russia. So I put together a research trip to Russia a few years ago, and I specifically designed it so that students could go with me, undergraduate students could go with me and assist in documenting the folk architecture of regions around Moscow.
Hmm. Can you expand on some of the career options and directions students have coming from this major?
Sure. First of all, one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that if you have an interest in a foreign region, it wouldn't necessarily have to be the area that I'm directing, Slavic and East European region. If you have that interest and you have linguistic skills, you can combine it with any field that you're interested in, whether it's business or whether it's law, whether it's directly in international relations, whether it's medicine, social work, virtually any field will allow a channel for you to apply those skills that you and the knowledge that you learn through one of the area studies programs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically wide open. We typically tend to attract students who have, like I said, an interest in some type of government work,
mm-hmm.
Either with the State Department and the Foreign Service or actually making policy. But there are other agencies of the government that could use this expertise, the Defense Department, the Agricultural Department, in some ways the Labor Department, the National Health Organization or the World Health Organization for students who have a medical interest. It's basically wide open. But it means that to be really effective in that region, you need to be multilingual or at least have a second foreign language.
Are there particular things or suggestions you would give to students who are preparing for a different career in this field that they can be doing to prepare them?
I think the best thing they could do is read as much as they can about the region. There are multiple forms of media that they can go to for that. There are news sources on the internet which give daily updates about news items related to that region. The New York Times is a good source. The New York Times has been one of the leaders in reporting on the area, developments in the area. There's, of course, that's the current events side of it, but then there's also the historical side of it. There are parts of this region that are less studied or understudied. Of course, many, many books have been written about Russia, the Soviet Union. There are many scholars working in that field, but then there are other areas of the region where not so much has been studied. For example, the Caucasus, Central Asian republics, former Yugoslavia. So in some particular areas, information is a little bit more scarce. So it takes a little bit more work to find.
Mm-hmm. What are some job titles and employers of graduates of this program?
I do know that we have had students who have gone on to law school and who have worked in law firms in Russia. I know that we have had students who have gone to Washington and worked for the State Department in some capacity or have worked for congressmen or senators in some capacity. Some students have gone on to pursue graduate degrees in international relations or history or political science for other types of careers, teaching or some other type of career related to that,
mm-hmm.
that field.
Mm-hmm. Are there any study abroad opportunities available to students?
Yes, there are. We have a direct exchange with the Voronezh State University in Russia. Voronezh is a city of more than a million people. It is also a student city. There are many institutions of higher education there. Our students attend Voronezh State University, which is basically geared towards the humanities and the sciences. We've been carrying on that exchange since 2000, and at this point we have sent more than 20 Baylor students to Voronezh to study for either a semester or a summer, and several of those students have also stayed either an entire year or gone back for a second semester, not consecutive with the first semester they were there.
Hmm.
We like to encourage them to study in Voronezh, but that requires them to know a little bit of Russian. We prefer that they have at least 1 year of Russian before they go abroad for the semester. In other parts of the region, especially in Central Europe, Poland, Czech Republic, etc., Hungary, they can study on those programs with much more limited knowledge of the language and study it while they're there.
Given the global situation politically, etc., is this region a safe place for students to work or study?
I would say that this region is as safe as any region in the world. A lot of people are under the conception that somehow Russia is a dangerous place, or because we hear cases of kind of high-profile events, mostly related to Russia's own political struggles with its ethnic minorities, the most prominent being the Chechens. Historically, Russia has had very, very few types of terrorist-related activities involving foreigners.